Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Vietti.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Did I say good morning? Let's say good morning to Las Vegas. Good morning, Las Vegas. I love you guys. Good morning, Cal State, Northwest, Tehachapi, all the other campuses, people online. We love you. Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you guys. We're going to get down to business because we don't have long today. This is the day that we bring Vegas in live. They're live with us today, so we move fast. So we're going to continue talking about the kingdom of God. I was going to talk about the second coming. But the women here at the California campus are at retreat, and they prayed I wouldn't talk about it till they came back, and I guess God answered their prayers. So I'll talk about the second coming at the end of the series instead of now. So we're going to finish up the kingdom. Father God, bless this, anoint this in Jesus' name, and everybody can say amen. Amen. Let's dive right in with about six or seven things God has to say about the kingdom of God. Now, I've got a real treat for you at the end, so stay with me. So let's just dive right on in, and let's look at James 2 and 5 this morning. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Now, it doesn't just say to have faith. God chose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to everyone that loves him. Now, here's the PowerPoint of what I want you to see in this verse. When you have faith and know how to use it, you don't need a lot of stuff. Now, this is so important. I want you to know something I said last week. We're in a series, so I don't mind repeating some stuff. But I want you to hear that the devil will give you stuff in order to destroy you. Some people don't know that. They think everything they get is from God. For example, in the Bible, there's a story of a young rich ruler, and this guy comes to Jesus, and obviously he's not walking with God yet. And he asked Jesus a question, but this young man had too much stuff. So when the Lord told him what was required of him to walk with God, he walked away disappointed because he had too much stuff. And the stuff had a grip on him. Now, in a perfect world, we as believers, we want to see all of our stuff have God's fingerprints on it. That's in a perfect world. Now, let me give somebody a rhema here today. Let God take stuff out of your life if he wants to. Don't hold on so tight to the stuff. We're to hold everything with a loose grip. I told the story years ago about the monkeys in the Amazon. They trap them by these vases with real thin necks on them, and the monkey will reach their hand, and they have fruit in the bottom, and they'll grab the fruit, and because they won't let go of the fruit, they can't get their hand out of the jar, and their monkey stew that night. So we as people in the kingdom, now this is important, we've been called to be effective and not prosperous. Now, I'm using the world term for prosperous. There is a different term in the Bible. But according to the world, we're to be effective and not prosperous. Look at the definition for prosperous. It is successful in material terms, flourishing financially. Now look at the word for effective. Effectiveness is successful in producing a desired or intended result. Now listen to me closely. What is our intended, desired result? Is that when we leave this earth, we leave a lot of God stories behind, we leave a believing family behind, we leave people behind that were influenced by Christ in our life. And if you get these down, it doesn't matter what you own, what you have. I don't know who I'm talking to, but stop trying to build your kingdom here. You're not called to do that. You're called to be effective. You're not called to be like the world. Now, effectiveness is not determined by numbers. If it was, then Jesus wasn't effective because he only had 12 disciples. Effectiveness is not determined by longevity. If so, Jesus was ineffective. He lived in his early 30s and he died. If so, Charlie Garcia wasn't effective because Charlie died at a pretty young age. Effectiveness is not determined by wealth. If so, again, Jesus was not effective. Again, we did a funeral up here for a member of almost 40 years this week. And once again, the tears in the kids' voices and when they got up here and talked about their dad, their mother, this was the testimony of Steve Schmidt. Not one person that I can ever remember at a funeral, so I'm glad my dad had a lot of stuff. I'm glad my mom had a lot of things. I'm glad my mom was a millionaire. I'm glad my mom owned this big business. I was proud of her. Every stinking time, it's they spent time with me. They brought me up. They encouraged me. They were there when I needed them. Look at Proverbs 38:9. It says, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty. It says, give me, God. They're insinuating that God's the source of this. God, neither give me poverty nor give me riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Some of you maybe are asking not according to God's will. And so you have to be careful here. Again, not many people can handle riches and prosperity in this world. We thank God for those who can, but most of them can't. Now, here's the thing. If you know how to work faith, you don't need a lot of stuff. This is really important for you to get. If you know how to work faith, most people don't know how to work faith. If you know how to work it, you'll have everything you need and everything God wants you to have. Do you understand that? But you have to know how to work faith. Let me show you how to work faith. Faith comes from hearing God promise you something. You can't assume anything. Don't assume that God wants you to have anything if you haven't heard from him. So faith comes from seeking. You have to seek before you knock. We've talked about that. Let's use for an example. Let's say that Valley Bible Fellowship wants to create another campus either in Las Vegas or we want to create another one here in the Southwest, which we might want to do. The first thing we have to do, we have to go to God and ask him if it's his will. You can't just suppose it is. You can't say, well, he wants us to, enlarge in the kingdom, so we'll just assume. There's a phrase in the carnal world about what assume does to you. Some of you know that. So you have to hear God. And so if it's his will, he'll speak it to you. He'll begin to put conviction in your heart that's overwhelming. There won't be a doubt in your mind. There'll be the presence of faith. Now here's the clincher. Here's where everybody loses that. Say with me, faith has to be acted on. That's where you're blowing it. So many of you have had so many promises from God, but because you never acted on them, you never got them. God's not going to do it for you. He'll give you faith to say, I want you to have this, but you must act upon it. Look at James 2, 14 through 18. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and need a daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you don't give to them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, it's dead being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, the Vegas building, you guys in Vegas, you're in a building today that you would not be in had we not got out of our car, laid hands on it, claimed it, put the stamp of God on it. Had we not done that, you wouldn't be in it today. God wouldn't have given you that building. But we went out and laid hands on it, and we cursed it for anybody else's use, and we claimed it for God, and that's the reason you're in it today. That's the reason you're in it. The reason you're in this building here today is because when we were in our old building, one day we said, we're not going to sit here till we die. We're going to do something even if it's wrong. And we were going to buy the Chevron station behind that building that now is the Boys Club. We were going to buy that. And once we went out and we were really going to buy it, God says, no, you're going to make a big mess. I better give you something quick. And he gave us this. Somebody gave us this property at the same time. They just handed it to us. But it had to be acted on. Say with me again. Say with me, faith has to be acted on. If I don't act on it, I'll get nothing. Oh, that's important to see. Me and my leukemia, I would be dead today if I didn't act on my faith. And in my case, I threw away my chemotherapy. I had to. If I would have stayed on it, I'd be dead. Now, when you know how faith works, God will give you everything you need. Let's look at the second kingdom principle, Matthew 12, 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Here's the PowerPoint I want you to see. God gives us power to take back from the enemy the things that belong to God. Ho, ho, ho. That's powerful. Listen to me. See, I made a statement last week that I'm the strong man of my house. If the devil wants to get my kids or grandkids, he's got to come through me first. And I have the power of God to protect my spouse, to protect my kids, to protect my grandkids. If every man could see what I'm saying today, you would stop messing around with sin. You'd become the man of God. It's with great boldness I can say, devil, you can't get my kids, you can't get my grandkids, you can't get my wife, because you got to come through me, and I know my power in God. It's him, it's not me, but I know my power in God. Now listen to me closely. Jesus was casting demons out. The Pharisees came along, and they said he's doing it by the power of the devil. Nothing's changed. You know how many people in our community say, oh, Pastor Ron Vietti and VBF, they cast demons out, and that's all the devil working. They're the same old thing. I mean, if you sat through a demon possession, I said before, it's pretty doggone impressive. I mean, it's a sight to see. And Jesus said, you know what? He said, demons would not cast out demons. The devil would not cast out demons, because if he did, duh, he'd be working against his own kingdom. Only Christ-centered people live in the kingdom of God can cast out demons. Now, again, the reason I know, and that goes straight across the board, I know that was not the context that Jesus was making about us, but the principle does fly straight across the Bible. Because I know how to pray, because I know the power in praise, because I know my authority over demons, it's going to be really hard for the devil to get my family. And so we have to realize that God's given us the power to take back what the devil's stolen from us. Hell, that's news for some of you, because the devil's stolen your kids. Now go get them back. In Jesus' name, go get them back. The devil's stolen your finances. In Jesus' name, I've given you permission to go get them back. You're supposed to have enough to give to others and give to God and have enough for yourself. The devil's stolen your marriage. If you can't get them back, then start praying for another one, a better one. Remember we used to sing those songs, how we were to go get back for what the enemy stole from us? We need to bring some of those songs back, don't we? Because some of you are just sitting there and say, well, bless his heart, he just took everything I had. Well, go get it back. Put your war paint on. Go get it back. Let it be to you according to your faith. No one's going to rip me off while I'm alive if it's God's will. If it's his will they rip me off, then I got to let them rip me off. Again, I said something a while back, and it bears repeating today. Some of you are lazy. You got to get up and start fighting back. Who's that for? Start fighting back. You become lazy. You become apathetic. God's for you. He's rooting for you. Third one. I got to go quick because I got to watch the clock. Matthew 14, 70. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about tattoos. It's not about wearing an earring or a nose ring. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not about if you drink a beer every once in a while. It's not about that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's the PowerPoint. I can only have peace when I know things are under control and I don't have to do anything. That's the only time I have peace. For example, if my kid is at the ranch and there's a mountain lion 20 yards away, I don't have any peace. I've got to do something. I got to intervene. But if my kid's at the zoo and a mountain lion is 20 yards away in a closed cage, I have peace. Now, until I prayed through, and I must pray through situations that are stressing me out. Until I pray through, I can't have peace. What is praying through? Look at Luke 8, 43 through 48. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now here's the part, listen to me. This is in here for us. In this particular case, she had a problem for 12 years. And it could not be healed by anyone. Hello, stop there. Cannot be healed by anyone. Some of you have problems right now that doctors can do nothing about. You have to go to God now. You should have went to him first. So she has this issue. It's an issue. She can't get any victory with this issue. So she comes up behind Jesus, touches the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped immediately. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding and pressing in on you." Jesus said, "Someone did touch me. For I was aware that power had gone out of me." That's crazy. There are times that happens to us up here because we're the disciples of Jesus. There are times I'll look at Tom or whoever's close. I'll say, "Did you feel that?" "Yeah, I felt it." "Whoa." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Notice she had to do something. Say what she had to do something. It was simple, but she had to do it. Now, this little lady, she had to push people aside, breathing, get out of here. I mean, she had to work to get to Jesus. That's called praying through. Now, listen to me, my words closely. Praying through is praying until you have an answer. Now, I didn't say, don't hear what I didn't say. I didn't say praying through is praying until you have the answer. I said until you have an answer, not the answer. Again, I prayed through and God said, "Throw your chemo away." I did not have the answer. I still had leukemia, but I had an answer. I was on the right path. I was on the right journey. When we laid hands on the Sahara building that the people in Vegas are in today, that wasn't the answer. We still didn't have the building, but it was an answer. God answered our prayer. He put us one step closer. See, some of you just need to get one step closer. Some of you never move because you think you have to see the whole picture before you move. Just get one step closer. That's the way God leads. I was over in Vegas a while back, and I was going through just an emotional thing I couldn't get a hold on. And God told me to go see Doug and Vicky and talk to them about it and let them help me through it. And God showed me something. He said, "Ron Vietti, I will not always give you the answers because I want you to be dependent on other people. If I gave you all the answers, you wouldn't need anybody else." He's today you need what Doug and Vicky's going to tell you. Now here I led Doug and Vicky to the Lord years ago. I led them to the Lord. I discipled them, everything, but now I needed them. The Bible teaches that. There will be times that God will not answer your prayers until you go to someone else, get some help somewhere else. He wants you to be dependent on the body of Christ. He leads by connecting the dots. When you start moving in faith, you'll have peace. Look at Colossians 3:15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." If you don't have peace, something's wrong. "To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Next verse. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Now get this. He's talking about a peace here that doesn't make sense. You go to God and you're in a trial and you come out of your prayer room and you go, I have peace. Does it make sense? No, I'm as confused as when I went in. but I've got peace. I poured my heart out to God, and all I know is I have peace. It says, and that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it'll guard your hearts, and it'll guard your minds, and it'll keep you from doing stupid things. Oh, oh. I'm not on caffeine today, neither. I did that second service last week, and I beat myself up afterwards. I was all over the place. Now listen to me. Slow down, Ron. I know that clock's bothering you, but slow down, buddy. See, I talk to myself a lot. Some of you are doing stupid things because you don't have peace. You're trying to please people so much because you don't have the peace of God, that God's in charge. If he wants people in your life, he'll keep them there, and if he doesn't, let them go. But don't compromise your values to please them. That's because you have no peace. Stop believing that God will not lead you in your health ordeals. Some of you have given up faith that God's going to lead you in your health ordeals, and as a result, you're just anything the doctor says, you're doing it. And you're going to end up killing yourself. When I first had leukemia, God said, if you try to save yourself, you will kill yourself. Again, doctors are a gift to us. I love my doctor. I love them. But they're just men, and sometimes they're not walking with God, and they'll tell you to do things that's going to kill you. But you don't have peace with God, so you're just buying everything they say. I could go on and on and on. I wished I'd go back and do my marriage all over again because I had no peace of God. I almost ran my wife out of my life. If I would have had peace with God, that never would have happened. Some of you are ruining. You're ruining your kids' lives because there's no peace of God in the house. I've said it before, bears repeating. If there's not peace of God in the house, a lot of joy in the house, when those kids leave, they're never going to come back. You got to have peace. And Joe, I look at Jim and Tara, their kids just can't get enough of mom and dad. They want to be around them all the time. They're always together, always a family. When they go somewhere, all three college kids, yeah, they all go together. They just want to be together because there's so much joy in their house. Rhema, pray. Pray until you get peace in your life. God has promised that in the kingdom of God. Pray. The fourth one, and we got about 10 minutes. The joy of the Lord gives us endurance that leads to blessings. Look at Hebrews 12 and 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, what? For the joy set before him. See, Jesus had come from heaven. He knew what heaven was like, and he couldn't wait to get back. And it was the joy set before him that gave him the power to endure the cross. It gave him the power to despise the shame. The joy set before him. Look at Hebrews 6 and 12. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who faith and patience inherit the promises. Joy is going to give you endurance that leads you to blessings. See, heaven, when I was at the funeral this week, could you imagine trying to explain Disneyland to some person who had lived on a remote island all their life, had never seen electricity, nothing? How could you explain the parade and Magic Street, and how could you explain all the... You couldn't. It'd be so hard. You'd have to say, you just have to experience it. Jesus, because he knew that the ridiculous, fantastic joy of heaven, he said, I get through anything because I know that's on the other side. Now, in a perfect world, that should be you and I. I can go through this cancer. I can go through anything, man, because I know the joy that waits me on the other side, and I'm just a few heartbeats away. And we should be excited. And so the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It keeps us from being defeated. Have you ever tried to reason with a drunk person? Now, buddy, listen, I know you're drunk. But if you go over there, you're going to get beat up and in trouble. I don't care if he wants some of me, just bring it on. Come on, I'm ready for him. And you go, no, you go, I don't care, you know. It's the joy of the liquor, you know, it's giving him false security. Dude, quit doing that, you're embarrassing me. I'm embarrassing you. Hey, everybody, I'm embarrassing him. You know, they're crazy. They're crazy. See, the Bible says that we're not to be filled with wine, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord will help us to be bold. I wrote a bunch of verses out in bold, so I don't have time to cover them. See, when you're walking in the Spirit, it's like, why not? Why not? I'm going to call that dude right now and tell him to give us that building. We need that building for the work of God. I'm going to call him if he doesn't like it. Why not? I get on the phone. You won't believe how many blessings are open that way. Who cares? I'm walking in the Spirit. If I fail, I got a good sermon illustration for Sunday, Romans 8:28. The joy of the Lord, as I say with me, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, where do you get joy? You get it from God. Joy is closely related to faith. So you have to get it from God. And joy will. It'll give you the courage to do stuff you wouldn't normally do. And you'll get stuff you wouldn't normally get. It's crazy how it works. Number five, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here's the PowerPoint. The longer you live in the kingdom, the more dependent you will become on God. How do you become poor in the Spirit? Good question. How? I mean, if you inherit the kingdom of God by being poor in the Spirit, isn't it important that we know how to get poor in the Spirit? Here's how you get poor in the Spirit. Live long enough with your eyes open so you'll see that your ways usually do not bring desired results. I'll say it again. Here's how you become poor in the Spirit. Live long enough with your eyes open to find out and discover that your ways usually does not bring the desired results you're looking for. I've got to just share these last two with you because we got to get out on time because of Vegas. They have to switch all their cars. I don't have time to even comment on that one. Just take it for what it's worth right there. Let me give you the sixth one. I won't comment on it either. Maybe just a couple. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. PowerPoint, measure your godliness by the amount of persecution you're getting. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Say with me, ooh. Yeah. See, the Bible's very explicit. All those who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus, they will suffer persecution. And it's simple. When you invite others to come to church, some of them are going to go, ha, 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 they're going to tell their friends, he invited me to go to church. Here comes the church inviter. You can handle that, can't you? Can you handle that? Yeah. Kanye West, it was said, I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody said, he said that people are living in sin, can't even work on his albums now. Somebody said that. I don't know if that's true, but you have to ask him. Invite someone to lunch and tell them about the Lord. That might backfire on you, and they might go, can you believe it? He invited me to church to preach to me. Oh, here comes the preacher ignoring. Can you take that? Are you willing to take that? Tell the kids how they dress. Say, you know what, kids? You're not going out of the house looking like that. And all their friends get together and go, hey, can you believe their parents are square? And your parents, can you handle that? That's persecution. You have a reception, wedding reception for your kids, and you go, you know what? I know all the pressure's on to have the booze and stuff, but we're not having booze at our reception. We're not. People get drunk. They do stupid things. And I don't care what the family thinks of me and anybody else. They'll talk, can you believe it, old Johnny Christian there? Can you handle that? It's a day and age for Christians to start having values again. And stop giving a hoot about what the world thinks. Say, it's my life, this is the way I live it, and this is what I'm going to do. In the 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God does not consist of words, but in power. Hello, how many churches in Bakersfield do we need to tell that to today? The kingdom of God doesn't consist in all of your theological words, it consists in power. What's the PowerPoint here? Stop talking the talk and start walking the walk. Jesus didn't just talk about healing, he healed people. Jesus didn't just talk about forgiveness, he actually forgave people. He didn't just talk about loving others, he actually loved them. He didn't just talk about making disciples, he actually made disciples. Wow. And number eight is the last one. Yes, Lord, yours, Lord, it says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over everything. Now, here's the PowerPoint. Living in the kingdom will totally transform your life. I have so much to say today, and I feel bad because all of you came because you thought I was talking about the second coming. I will do that. The next time I'm in the pulpit, I will talk about the second coming. We have two more in this series, and then I will do the second coming because it's going to be crazy, and I will do that. But today I want to end with this one. And what I want to do is I want to show you a video. Now, we're going to go off the air. Facebook, there will be a link on Facebook for you to go to see this video. But we're going to go off the air right now on Facebook. We're gone. Bye. Love you. Look for the link. And the rest of us, I want to say something before I show this video. Again, I have been so excited about Kanye West and his commitment to Jesus. There are many Christians knocking him out there, going, I cannot believe it. He did it. That isn't what we're told to do. Pray for the guy. Amen. He's made a couple statements, and they're not right. Well, what kind of statements did I make when I was first born again that weren't right? This guy could influence. He's already influenced a lot of people. I already heard two big names in Hollywood since this have said they're giving their life to Jesus. Amen. Will he endure? I don't know. It's still to be seen. Will he hang in there? I don't know. It's still to be seen. But if we don't pray for him, he's going to have a harder time doing it. I want you to take a look at this video. It's about 6 minutes long, and then we'll come back and end the service.
Now, listen. This entire flight, this guy's yours, all right? Let me get some shut-eye. Pop the old head on there. I'll probably zone out. Are you a talker or a sleeper? I can do both. You let me know.
I think I'm a
we can good chat the whole way there if you want.
We can talk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Chat the whole way there?
Yeah.
Do you want to listen to some music?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yo, Jason, can we hear some music?
Let's go. Two. Ready.
Sunday service.
When did you go, this is the thing I want to do?
Actually, when I went to the hospital a few years ago, I wrote in the hospital, start a church in Calabasas. It's something I had a feeling that I needed to do that God put on my heart. And now he just keeps on taking me to new levels and taking us to other levels that we didn't even imagine before. And God's always had a plan for me, and he always wanted to use me, but I think he wanted me to suffer more and wanted people to see my suffering and see my pain and put stigmas and on me and have me go through all the experiences, the human experiences. So now when I talk about how Jesus saved me, more people can relate to that experience. If it was just, oh, we grew up with this guy's music and now he's a superstar, it's less compelling than, oh, this guy had a mental breakdown, this guy was in debt, this guy's been through, you know, not been through, but this guy has a beautiful 5 years of marriage, which, you know, marriage years are different than human, like, you know, dog years, or what is it, 7 years?
See, yeah, every marriage year is
like 100 years. It's like 500 years of marriage. You know, there's a lot of people that were praying for me when I was, you know, all the way gone. When I was on the, you know, at the MTV Awards holding a Hennessy bottle, running on stage. When I was, you know, doing creative direction for certain award shows. It was people in my family that were praying for me, but they couldn't call me and scream at me. I'm a grown man. I made my own mind. I actually made it this far by not listening to anybody. Sure. You know, so I don't want advice from people, but it's God, you know, that came and put this thing on my heart and said, you know, are you ready to be in service to him?
You know? Do you look back on some of those things that you mentioned there with regret, or do you look at it and go, well, that's all a journey that got me here?
I have no regret and no shame. You know, that's the biggest thing, me being a perfectionist. That's such a blasphemous statement to think that as a man you could perfect anything. God is the only thing that's perfect. So the only thing that can be perfect is God's plan.
Have you had a Shake Shack burger?
Oh.
Because I will say that is pretty close to perfect as far as I'm concerned.
The hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the strippers.
Jesus walks with them.
God showed me the way, cause the devil tried to break me down.
Jesus walks.
The only thing that I prayed is that my feet don't fail me now.
Jesus walks.
And I don't think it's nothing I could do now to right my wrongs.
Jesus walks.
I want to talk to God, I ain't afraid.
The plane or the altitude or just because we're in the sky, I am starting to feel closer to God. I'll be honest.
On time, on time, every time, every time, always there, always there. Said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, save us.
So you think your awakening, your spiritual awakening is part of
my success. Absolutely. Now I get to work for God and he about to show out. Kanye West works for God.
Can you lend me $1 million? Basically walking around with the most expensive iPod in the world. I kind of love it. It's a real move. Now, what's a regular night in for you and Kim now? Kanye and Kim, they got nothing to do Tuesday night. What are they doing?
I don't like going out at nighttime. I like being at home with my family at night as much as possible.
So what is that night? What do you do?
We'll eat dinner and we'll play with the kids. And then we'll put the kids to bed, and then we go to bed. And then my wife watches Dateline.
So she watches Dateline,
yeah.
And you're not really watching anything, you're just straight to sleep?
I read the Bible.
For real?
Yes.
Seriously, you sit and read the Bible?
Yes.
I need to talk to my wife.
That's for sure, his love will never fade. He's sovereign. That's for sure.
What do you say to people who would say, and there will be people that will say, I don't believe it. I don't believe the reawakening of that Kanye's saying he's having. I don't believe if I look at the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life, I don't believe that this can be as night and day as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
that you would be one day living your life in one way and now saying everything is for this, I'm not sure I believe it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say, when you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that those are two different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep. And this is the awakening.
Hallelujah, 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 he is wonderful.
Gang, this is not just happening with Kanye, it's happening all over the globe. There are all kinds of people coming to Christ. And then we got the church who should be lifting him up who are doubting him. And that is so wrong. If you're one of those, you probably don't belong in this church. We're going to pray for him. If he doesn't make it, he doesn't. But I believe he will with our prayers. This young man will make it. And he'll influence a lot for the kingdom of God. That's it. That's about the kingdom. That's it. Pastor Shane is going to continue next week on the kingdom of God. I'll be back in 2 weeks with the second coming of the Lord. I'm going to teach on it. Maybe I won't be back. Maybe we'll have it. But right now, I want you to pray with me real quickly. I'm going to bring Peter and Nalos and the team out. They're fixing to leave for Africa. And pastors, I hand it over to you. Doug, it's yours. Tom, it's yours. John, it's yours. The rest of the message is yours. So all campus pastors, take it right now. You're heading out.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. It's great.
Yes. You got power in that thing there? Yeah, there we go. So you're heading out, and tell me who's on your team this time, Peter.
We got Mike, obviously, Jocelyn, my wife Karen, and myself, and we're going to be there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and there's four of you going.
Yeah.
Mike, this is your second trip. Are you looking forward to it?
I am. God's going to put us in a position we've never been before. We're going to be absolutely ill-equipped to deal with it, and he will come through. That's the most exciting part of doing this.
Praise God. So tell me real quick, where are you planning on going this time?
We're going to be going mostly to the central areas where there's a lot of Muslims, and we're going to be graduating. These are 130 diplomas from our two-year seminary program at VBF there. So it's our second class, so we're going to be able to, we're going to have you pray over those. Yes. And then we're going to be going, Karen's doing a women's conference, and we're going to be visiting 14 schools. So it's going to be a great trip, lots of kids.
You know what? Right now, Father God, I pray that every one of these diplomas would take on a life of itself. That, Lord, this diploma would take on a life of itself, and every student that receives this would go out and make many disciples before the return of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, I pray there'd be an anointing upon these diplomas, that they would hang them up, that these diplomas would cause conversation to take place, that with these diplomas would come an anointing. And I pray that when they hand them out, they'll touch each student and anoint them with a diploma. An anointing comes along free with a diploma. So anoint them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm going to ask a couple more questions, and then I'm going to pray again. But do that. Amen and amen. Amen. So what are you expecting God to do? He's going to protect you. You already said that. What are you expecting him to do?
I'm expecting to see some healings and some deliverances, lots of salvation.
Lots of salvations, healings, and deliverance. You're expecting that. Let it be to you according to your faith. What are we expecting?
Oh, I just want to go love on those kids and let them feel God's love, honestly.
Yeah. Where will you be staying while you're there?
We'll be staying at the local, you know, local hotels where the churches are that have the schools.
You're not staying out in that Muslim area, in that tent you told me about. You told me not to tell Mike.
a tent?
You know, one thing I'm expecting, and I've seen this, is children accepting Jesus. And I'm looking to see that that happens, you know, not just 10 or 20, but many, many children accepting Jesus.
Good. And so we're going to pray for your safe journey. And also, you've all had those seven shots you told me about, too, so I know that's taken care of. I'm just playing with you guys. There's no seven shots. But, Father God, I'm asking you right now to send your angels ahead of this team. You know every place on their itinerary. Go there and have your angels there ahead of time. Prepare the people's hearts for them. If there's any bad influences, get them out. And Lord, have an angel with them starting when they get on that plane, a special African angel that will go with them, stay with them the whole time, bring them home safely, make them productive. We can't wait to hear the God stories. Give them the courage to pray ridiculous things if you should call for it. Like Peter prayed for water one time for rain when there hadn't been rain forever, and the next day it puddled up the whole area. Give them the strength to pray for ridiculous things. Bring all the demon-possessed around to where they're at. Just go with them and give them grace. We believe in your power. And the whole church can say, amen. Amen. God be with you. See you when you get back. I'll give you these back. God bless. We're going to have the ushers come forward for the morning tithes and offering. If you'd come forward, we're going to end in one last song. And you can go home and have a super great day. But pray that the Rams and Raiders win today. Those are our teams, okay? Okay, God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.